Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
From the John L. Santico Studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. A new state-by-state women's health scorecard released last week by the Commonwealth Fund reveals mounting disparities in women's health and reproductive care across the United States. But for Texas, the findings are shocking. The scorecard ranks Mississippi as dead last and then followed by Texas. I spoke to Sarah Collins, the senior scholar at the Commonwealth Fund, about the report.
We looked at with our scorecard how well healthcare systems are working for women in all 50 states in the District of Columbia. We used 32 measures to assess healthcare access, affordability, quality of care, prevention, and health outcomes. And we collected the data in 2022. This is the same year, as you note, that the Supreme Court decided to overturn Roe v. Wade. What we're finding across many states, that women's health is in a fragile place. Healthcare systems are struggling in a lot of states to provide comprehensive healthcare to women across their lifespan. We're seeing deep and likely growing geographic divides in U.S. women's ability to access healthcare services, maintain their health, and particularly among women of reproductive age. Deaths among women of reproductive age are highest in the southeastern states. Causes of death include many that are preventable and treatable. Rates of maternal deaths, highest in the Mississippi Delta region in the south, and women's inability to afford needed health care of all kinds is most pronounced in states like Texas that haven't expanded their Medicaid program. In fact, in Texas, ranks right at the bottom of women of reproductive age being able to access healthcare services. Texas, in terms of our overall ranking, it is ranked near the bottom, 50th out of 50 states on reproductive care and women's health. Texas has the highest rate of uninsured women in the United States. One of five women in the state are uninsured. This is more than double the national average. As I mentioned, it has the highest rate of women of reproductive age not being able to afford healthcare because of costs. More than one quarter of women ages 15 to 44 said they hadn't seen a doctor in the past year because of how much it costs to do so. It also ranks 50th on women of reproductive age having a usual source of care. More than one third of women in this age group in Texas said they didn't have a regular doctor or clinic they could go to. Texas also has among the fewest of maternal health care workers relative to the number of women of reproductive age in the state. It's ranking about 44th. Symptomatic of that, it ranks 49th on prenatal care visits in the country. 31% of women who had live births reported that prenatal care didn't start before the third month of their pregnancy. Texas ranks 33rd out of 43 states on maternal mortality. So Texas simply just doesn't have enough maternal care workers to adequately serve women of reproductive age. And there is a concern, and this is true for all states with bans on abortion, that these bans could lead to even fewer doctors willing to practice in the state, both in maternity and reproductive healthcare and across all specialties. There are fewer medical graduates who are applying for residencies in states with abortion bans. And that's not just in OBGYN, it is across all medical specialties. So that's a very ominous signal or sign for a state that is struggling, whose health system is already struggling.
So what I like about your study and your breakdown you just gave me is that it helps people understand that the prohibition on abortion in states like Texas isn't just a prohibition on abortion. It also has these much broader and deeper impacts on people who have no interest in having an abortion. Being able to have a healthy childbirth experience now is also impacted because of this prohibition on abortion. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. And it's affecting just the broad spectrum of women's health across their lifespan. And particularly if you start to see fewer physicians being willing to practice in the state. So an exodus of physicians or fewer new young physicians willing to come into the state. So that's very ominous for women and people across genders and across their lifespan. It's you want to encourage medical practitioners to come into a state, not discourage them. And this is having a discouraging effect on providers willing to practice in the state.
Well, threatening to put them in jail for life, take away their medical license, fine them hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's if someone is considering, where do I want to go to be trained? Where do I want to go practice? That's a disincentive.
Absolutely. And doctors are facing a lot of stress as it is from all different areas, insurer complexities, just getting care for their patients. And then when you throw this added uncertainty, stress, worry about their own futures and their families, being able to support their families, it becomes a hard barrier to cross.
So can you compare a state like Texas to a state that is at the top of the list? What's the difference? What's it look like? And it's amazing when you think about, you know, all you have to do is move to another state and suddenly your prospects change for having a family, being able to deal with women's health issues outside of reproductive care, because this impacts everything else. So what's it look like?
There are clear distinctions between states and delivery systems that perform well for women and those that perform less well. Higher performing states like Massachusetts, Vermont, have invested in health insurance coverage for nearly all their residents. So they've expanded their Medicaid programs. They're putting a concerted effort into making sure that people in their state have health insurance coverage. They've made reproductive health care legal and accessible. These were states that did not have restrictions prior to the 2022 Supreme Court decision, and they still don't. So that's another big difference. They've achieved lower maternal mortality rates with more maternal health care workers, more prenatal and postpartum checkups, and higher rates of postpartum depression screening. We know that postpartum depression is a major contributor to maternal mortality, so they've invested in postpartum depression screening.
One of the arguments that the abortion ban supporters have is that we need to increase our population. They look at demographics. There's a demographic shift in the United States. We're having fewer babies in this country. And they say, well, prohibition abortion is a good thing for that. But it does, listening to you and reading the report, you see it's actually having the opposite effect, isn't it?
It's making it harder for women who want to have children in a healthy and safe way. And that runs directly counter to that argument. You want to make it easy for people to make the choice to have a child and to make certain that they're going to have the health care they need over the full spectrum of that pregnancy. If things go wrong, that they have appropriate health care and their physicians are confident that they'll be able to treat them when they need to be treated. It's frightening to think about it. Having a child is risky enough, and then to be in a situation where you might not be able to get help when things don't go as planned is terrifying for women and their families.
Sarah Collins is the senior scholar at the Commonwealth Fund. When we come back from the break, an ethics complaint against Texas Senator Ted Cruz. The source continues after this. Stay with us.
Support for TPR comes from Jingu House in the Japanese Tea Garden, featuring Asian cuisine with a San Antonio twist. Open for lunch 7 days a week. View the menu at jinguhousesatx.com.